We're thankful that each of you is here tonight. I appreciate all who participated, and especially the prayer that Brother Hardin led a moment ago, and the sentiment of that song that we have just sung. We need to realize that we do not stand alone when we stand with God. I want to do something tonight that I just decided to do before I get into the lesson of the evening. Take your Bible, if you will, and turn with me to Romans chapters 12 and 13. I think it goes without saying that we may be facing one of the most difficult weeks in our lives. The way things are looking tonight, decisions may be made in the next week or less than that, that will affect us in so many ways. I want you to look with me beginning at verse 17 in Romans 12. Recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. I think here that God gave a prohibition against each one of us trying to take matters into his own hands, realizing that no one of us is smart enough to know how to handle things, and that we need to emphasize trying to live peaceably with all men. But then he said, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." He said, "I prohibit you from taking it into your own hands, but I'll take care of it." And then in the first few verses of the 13th chapter, he gave us the procedure of how he would take care of it. "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he, the ruler, is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil." God promised to take care of things. And he promised to work through world rulers to do that. I don't know how to explain how he is doing that, but I believe with all of my heart that he is. And as we are saddened by all that is happening in the world tonight, let us be sure that we do not lose our faith in God and believe that somehow or other God will work these things as he has promised, without a doubt, to take care of those that are good and to stand against those that are evil. We need to pray and pray and pray, and have faith and trust in God that whatever happens, God will take care of the promises that he has made. The fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians is a very power-packed chapter. It comes after a contrast is made in verses 17 and 18 of the fourth chapter of the things which are eternal and the things which are temporal. And certainly if there's ever been a time when we need to think in terms of the things that are eternal, it is now. In the first few verses of the fifth chapter, he tells us that if this earthly house is dissolved, we have a building of God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We need to constantly remind ourselves with that. Verse 7 is a lesson in and of itself. We walk by faith and not by sight. Perhaps we really feel that even tonight. Verse 10 is a verse that reminds us that all of us will appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive according to the things that we've done in the body. Verse 11 reminds us of how powerful God is and points out that the terror of God and the power of God is one of the reasons that we ought to persuade men. Verse 14 emphasizes the love of Christ and how it constrains us to be Christians. And verse 17, in a sense, sort of becomes the central part of everything that is said. It is verse 17 that becomes the outline for our lesson tonight. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I want us to think about the words that he uses there to describe a person when he says that somebody is a new creature. You and I have heard those words time and time again. We've used them in describing a Christian. We have songs that are based upon them. A new creature. What is a new creature? Let's let this verse tonight define it for us as we notice three other things that are said in it. First, a new creature is one who is in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Not just religious, not just believing in something, not just declaring even that there is one God. But if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Revelation 14:13 says, "Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord." Our ultimate goal is to die in Christ. Because if we die in Christ, we have the guaranteed promise that we shall rest from our labors. But in order to die in Christ, we must live in Christ. Paul puts it like this in Galatians 2:20. "I am crucified with him," or with Christ, "nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." That's a description of living in Christ every day. Ephesians 1:3 tells us that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. If they are all in Christ, it follows that they're not anywhere else. Four verses later, he says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." We have redemption. We have forgiveness of sins in Christ. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10 says that salvation is found in Christ. There has never been a time in our lifetime when emphasis needs to be placed upon this any more than today. Because even in the nation that we call a Christian nation, quote unquote, more and more people are looking for other ways of salvation, putting other individuals on the level with Christ. And even sometimes we hear those who are in the church say, "I'm not for sure that one who is not a Christian is going to be lost." Paul says a new creature is one who is in Christ, a part of Jesus Christ, a part of his body, a part of his cause. To die in Christ is to be okay for the eternity. To live in Christ is to prepare us to die in him. It necessarily follows that we ought to be concerned about how we get into Christ. Romans 6 that was read a few minutes ago, "Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" And Galatians 3:27 says about the same thing, "As many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Folks, we need to recognize how important it is to be in Christ. A new creature is one who is in Christ. If one is not in Christ, he is not a new creature. That logic necessarily has to follow. But notice further in the verse. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. There's been a change. I remember when I was growing up in a little community up in Jackson County in Middle Tennessee that members of the church would talk about someone becoming a Christian or being restored in these terms. He has made a change. I didn't understand the significance of that, I'm sure, when I was younger. But a person was in the community, was not a Christian, he obeyed the gospel, he has made a change. Or he had been unfaithful for a while, not involved in the work of the church, or maybe involved in something he should not have been, and he made something right with God, he came back to God, and the statement was made, he has made a change. I think my parents and others were right in what they were saying, and were presenting it in a very significant way. Because when one becomes a new creature, synonymous with being a Christian, old things have passed away. Titus 2:12 says, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Hebrews 12 and verse 1 says, before it talks about our running the race that is set before us, that we are to lay aside the sin and the weight that hold us back in order to be able to run that race. In what was read from Romans 6, we saw particularly there in verse 6 that the old man is crucified, the old man is put away. In Colossians 3:9, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. And most of you are familiar with that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that mentions 10 kinds of sin, where he talks about those who are guilty of fornication, idolatry, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves of mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, telling us that they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But then he says, and such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You look at all 10 of those sins or any other sin that is mentioned and put it in focus of a passage like this, and he says, such were some of you. That's the kind of life you lived before. But you're not like that now. Peter in 1 Peter 2:9 calls the church a peculiar people. Sometimes that word is used in a way that we might even laugh about it, but here it's used in the sense of being different. We are to be a peculiar people. We are to be different from the world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he also says, come ye out from among them and be ye separate. He doesn't mean separate yourself from the world, never speak to anybody, never be friendly with anybody, but he means to be different from those that are in the world. Philippians 2 says that we shine as lights in a world of darkness. How can we do that if we're not different? If we don't put aside the old things. This idea may involve more with some people than it does with others. A young boy or girl is brought up in a Christian home, is taught the Word of God, is instructed and disciplined to where he lives a good life, comes to the point of becoming a Christian. Not much change takes place there. A good moral man who lives in the community, does good to others, tries to be good to his wife, a good citizen, a good businessman, learns about Christ and becomes a Christian. He doesn't have as many old things to put aside as someone else. A friend of mine a few years ago said, I know I killed 3 men. I may have killed others. This particular person was known at one time as the meanest man in Texas. He was taught the truth, and he developed to the point that he was pardoned. and became a preacher of the gospel. I had a friend a few years ago in Clarksville who was in the armed forces of our country, stationed at Fort Campbell, man in his 50s. Very fine man. I grew to appreciate him. He was in the services. He was involved in the services. He told me one day, he said, "You don't know this, but I'm an alcoholic. Really deep down, I desire to drink alcohol every day of my life. I was involved in a kind of life that was totally different from being a Christian. And when I became a Christian, I had to put aside all those things." And it was evident to me, at least at that point, that he was being successful in doing that. What does it mean to be a new creature? It means to put aside anything that conflicts with Christ. It means to be in Christ, and it means to put away those things that are of a worldly nature. I think sometimes we misunderstand this, especially some do before becoming Christians, and think that I've got to give up anything that would bring pleasure or anything that would bring fun or anything that would bring satisfaction in order to be a Christian. That's not what the Bible says. You don't have to give up anything that is good, just that which conflicts with Christ. And that's the old man that he's talking about. One of the most amazing things that I've ever considered is how we can take a person who has been a criminal down into the waters of baptism, bury him in the waters of baptism where he contacts the power that's in the blood of Jesus Christ, and raise him from that and realize that the Bible then describes him as being as white as snow if he is truly repented and is truly obedient to Jesus Christ. That's an amazing thing. But that's what it means to be a new creature. And the only place that there is power to do that is in the blood of Jesus Christ. We're hearing a lot said in our day and time about power and what may be unleashed and what may be used. If you had all the power in the world put together, you couldn't begin to match the power that is in the blood of Jesus Christ that can make a man, even one who has lived a life of crime, a new creature when he puts away all those things that are old and those things that violate the principles of Christianity. And then he says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. What is a new creature? One for whom everything has become new. You must be born again. John 3, that's a new birth. As newborn babes in Christ, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. 2 Peter 2:2. As newborn babies. This afternoon, I passed by the nursery at the hospital. I did not get to see the new Bolton baby because of the treatment that it's receiving at this time. There was another little baby that I assume its mother was holding. Beautiful little baby. I think it was Friday when I was up there. I walked by the nursery and there were several people looking in. And there was a little baby there that just had the most beautiful plump face and a head full of black hair. A newborn baby. Is there anything that is more beautiful? I'm not for sure that there is. And yet the Bible says that when we become Christians, we are born into the family of God. We become new. We're just like that newborn baby. All things have become new. And he identifies it there in Romans 6 as being a new life. A new life. This morning we had prayer in one of our services for one of the new babies that was here for the first time, Nicholas Mays. And in that prayer we prayed that God would help the parents to bring him up in the right way and to help this new life be the kind of life that it ought to be. And that's the way it ought to be when one becomes a Christian. We are raised to walk in newness of life. And I want to especially emphasize that word walk. It's not just point action. It's continued action. It is a way of life. It is a lifestyle that one is to have when he is in Christ. A lifestyle that is described as all things being new. In Ephesians 4:24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is involved in righteousness and true holiness. In Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Notice some of those words that are used there. Righteousness, holiness, knowledge of him, the image of him. I've always thought in that passage in Galatians 3:27 that more may be involved than initially meets the eye. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We usually think of those words into Christ as meaning entrance, and they do. We made that point earlier in the lesson. But I wonder if there's not also the idea there that as many of you as are baptized into Christ's likeness, into becoming the image of Christ and being like Christ, if it's not in that part of the verse, it's in the next part at least, have put on Christ, to wear him for appearance and for protection. One little verse is so power-packed in describing a new creature. What is a new creature? In Christ. Not somewhere else. Not in anybody else. In Christ. Old things have been put aside. Put aside anything that conflicts with Christianity. Get rid of that old man. Crucify him. Put him to death. Put the works of the flesh to death. And all things are become new. A new kind of life in Jesus Christ to be lived each day. I think that's what God's definition is of a new creature. In Christ, old things put away, and all things have become new. Question, are you in Christ? Question, have you put old things away? Question, are all things new in the life that you live? You can be in Christ. If you will confess him, confess your faith in him, be buried with him in baptism, you can be in Christ. You can remove all past sins through the power of his blood. And you can live in newness of life. That's the invitation of Christ, for you to be a new creature if you're not. Come as together, we stand and sing.